pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Hour number three is now underway. Still to come on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott about 30 minutes from now. So you'll want to stick around for that. Let's recap the news. I've been keeping an eye on it all morning. Fox has not mentioned much about last night's speech from the president. A lot of Iran, a lot of kind of fluff news, outrage. There's an editorial decision that was made by the bookers and producers at Fox News not to touch this today. That's weird. Scanning Fox Business, I didn't watch it live. I mean, even the lawmakers they had on, not really talking about it. That is just bizarre to me. So I don't know what's going on here, and I'm a little stunned by it, to be honest. So continue to watch it. But on the other hand, almost the entirety of CNN and MS Now, that's all they're talking about. And what's interesting about it is neither one of those showed that speech. MS Now did not show any of it live. CNN showed snippets throughout. There's almost like a condescending, sneering, like, we don't trust what this president says, so we're not going to show it. But it wasn't aimed at, like, the president. It was aimed at, like, people who wanted to, perhaps wanted it to be aired, wanted to see it. Well, we're not going to show it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And they're right. Trump accuses China of meddling in 2020 election to help Biden. That from CNN. U.S. intelligence community concluded China chose not to interfere in 2020. Okay. And then Schumer, Trump scared to death of losing midterms. Schumer's got his own problems. Schumer and Jeffries don't know what to do with this. I guess they got to say what they got to say. It's just crazy to me that we're not really spending more time on this. Got a little noise in my ear there. But the way it's being approached by our friends in the media, I don't know. BBC, which I some reason have on in here too, does not mentioning any of it at all. But Fox, you would have thought that they would have at least tried to hitch a wagon to this. A lot of their audience is very interested. I assume a lot of you guys in this audience are very interested. That's why we're talking about it. But I didn't expect to see it and to take it seriously. I wonder if there's some remorse this morning that they're like, well, you know, maybe we should have shown the speech. If they think it's this big of a win that they're going to dedicate this amount of time to it. But I'll say this. I think for the White House communications team, it's kind of a problem. You give a presidential address and you want this to be what they're talking about across the board, and they're not. I don't know why you don't. 251-343-0106. Even if you don't agree with it or you want to be like, oh, there's nothing to see here, Fox News is not touching this. So make of that what you will, but we report, you decide. Newsmax Secretary Bessent reveals Left Wing assassination attempt. And News Nation, which I one of my guilty pleasures, watching News Nation. They're talking about the smoke. And now they're talking about Trump, U.S. elections dangerously exposed. 251-343-0106. So we'll see if it's even got a shelf life in the Sunday morning shows, if they spend time on it. But right now, the Fox is not, the giant, not riding this horse at all. Let's keep going here. Let's get to some text. Damn Yankee. What makes people think it's not true? Who in the general population is more informed than the president? China already has our personal information. Americans are so misinformed and ignorant to foreign invaders. You know, guys, after the 2016 election, it was Russia collusion, and the Russians infiltrated our elections, and it was like there was a P-tape, and there was all of these circumstances that we were, and you had Joyce Vance every 15 minutes coming on MSNBC and talking about they're going to throw Trump under the jail, that he was colluding with a foreign power. Now the story on that is, the Clinton campaign in 16 blew it. The media, they a gross oversight here. The media looked at it and just they took what the Clinton administration, the Clinton campaign had said. There was just no way that Trump was going to win. He's not a serious candidate. And then 16 happens, and what happened that they didn't see coming happened. Trump wins the presidency. And I remember, like, the 3 days afterwards, I was in Tallahassee. The Tallahassee Democrat, the newspaper there, they looked at Leon County and they went and they visited these Trump voting precincts to try to understand the culture there. It was like a field trip for them. Like, what were these people thinking? We need to look into this. And so the Hillary Clinton folks were like, well, there's no way he could have won outright. He's just not a serious person. It had to be the Russians. It had to be something else. And in reality, it was just a poorly ran campaign by a flawed candidate. And Trump gets a presidential W. And they needed a scapegoat. Well, as such as it was, that scapegoat was too good to be true that the media ran with it and made it a 2-year fascination. And then they go get Robert Mueller out of retirement, and he's like the figurehead of this this investigative arm that should have been stopped dead in its tracks by Jeff Sessions, but it wasn't. He's trying to do the honorable thing. And so it wasn't. And then we find out 2 years later, well, there really wasn't much to this. Our bad. No harm, no foul, but there was harm. And it really stymied the first 100 days of this president because it was all Russia, Russia, Russia. And the media went along with it. They wanted to. And so at that time, this was a perfectly plausible thing to consider, explore, try to understand. So here we are, 8 years plus later, and the idea, the notion that China would meddle in American elections is just, the Princess Bride's inconceivable. And why is it possible for Russia to have stolen election, as they had told us, and China not to be involved at all. So I don't know what, I guess it's just confirmation bias. People don't want to believe something, don't want to talk about it, whatever. But you can't have it both ways. We can be open-minded and say it's true or not true and base it on that, but this idea where we're just automatically going to discount him because of the source. Well, he's the president of the United States, voted on by the people in this country, winning the popular vote, not just a electoral college tally. We're not going to take him seriously. And that's the inherent flaw of the media. They take Trump literally, but not seriously. Chris, hey, Jeff, I did not watch the speech last night because I knew you would summarize it with the president said. Well, exactly did he say on his speech? Other than something about China? Did he talk about anything about Fulton County, Georgia and their election fraud or anything? Did he talk about the war? All you talked about is the media not covered it, and you're a part of it. The China part was the big part, and I think the overriding notion was the need for an ID, a photo ID to vote. Really, to be honest, Chris, I think the objective of the speech, you're never going to win over Democrats, but it was trying to win over maybe some Republicans who are holdouts on the SAVE Act. Maybe they pay lip service to it. That they tell their constituents what they, but they're just not on board with this silliness. But he's trying to sway them. He's trying to sway Thune. He's trying to win over the Senate. The House is not a problem right now. And he's trying to get the Senate to do something. What I don't think is going on here is I don't think it's working. I think they got a real messaging problem at the White House. If your flagship conservative network is not spending time on it, then what went wrong here? Mike, also, how many registered voters are there in America? There's around 350 million people, and nowhere near all of them are registered voters. Oh, never mind. According to AI, there are 206.4 million registered voters in America. Billy, Fox News did not want to get sued for $800 million. Maybe that's true. Maybe the Dominion voting thing was forcing them to steer clear of this. Now, Fox should have fought that. But I get it. You just don't want to deal with discovery. It's just guys, you can just imagine what Fox News is like inside the News Corp building. Jason, does lack of coverage just confirm the reach and control that China has in America? Maybe. Don't want to make the Chinese mad. Terry, I agree with you. More attention should be paid to these particular claims of potential election fraud. Well, yeah, just be open-minded about it. Fire Dog, the voices you're hearing in your ear are a combination of COVID kill shot plus 5G. The voices in my head tell me to staple bagels to my face. Not sure why Iraq hit Afghanistan, maybe. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get...
Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Coming up Monday on the program, we'll have Jennifer Fiddler, my state lawmaker, and that's tentative, and Del Jackson from WVNN, a guest to be named later. Unnamed texture, even Fox knows better. If his lips are moving, he's lying. But see, that's just like he's president. If let's operate on your assumption that you think he's lying, why wouldn't you broadcast those lies then? That the president of the United States is going on TV and, as you say, actively lying to you, is that not newsworthy? Is that not worthy of discussion? And they texted, don't you believe if we were more focused on reducing the debt and working toward world peace, well, the diplomacy election results would not be such a concern? Well, also, like, there's a lot of things we could wish cast for. Butterknife asked, did Trump and Fox break up? I don't know what's going on there. Maybe there is something to the Dominion settlement. Sam, if Fox News got in trouble legally for pushing the idea of voter fraud, would it make sense that they don't really want to go near it? Yes. But the same is kind of true with the Newsmax crowd, which is supposed to be like the anti-Fox. So, I don't know, we spent a lot of time talking about the media. And that's just sort of my field of expertise. I was a media reporter for years with the Daily Caller. I left there, became the TV vertical editor at Breitbart News. And I've been watching cable news. I was at the Media Research Center as an analyst. Like, my days in Washington, D.C. were all very media-centric. And something Bradley J said, I mean, just sort of everybody's on the same script. And this is like, you have to like really, really watch close to see what's going on here. But just how all the same talking points have been sent out and the media sort of go along with them. Not that the media, I mean, we know that the media aren't necessarily trustworthy here, or they have their own agenda. But that the way the machine is reacting to this, if this is nothing but lies and false information, then let me ask you this. Why are the media spending so much time attempting to debunk it? Why aren't they playing the Fox card here? Why don't they just walk away from it and not? Why are they not watching this a little closer? Or why are they watching it so closely? If there's nothing to see here, this is nothing but false information, why spend 75% of your broadcast time on it? Mike, I'm just wondering how China got 220 million voters info when there's only 206 million voters. And can't China or some PAC just buy the information like any other entity? Terry, I was born and raised in Michigan. Check out the Sleeping Bear National Lakeshore Lake, Michigan, in northwestern Michigan. Beautiful scenery. I had to talk about the trip. Let's just say there's a lot packed in there tentatively, but I know like weather and other things like that could change your best laid plans. I was kind of mapping it out last night. So we're going to try to hit a Cardinals game, a Twins game, a Brewers game. Stick with me here. A White Sox game, a Tigers game. Then we're going to go to Pirates, Cooperstown, cross into Canada, go to Blue Jays, Guardians, Cubs, and Braves. And it creates a nice little loop over the course of about 2 weeks. Between from Fair Hope to Fair Hope. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. It's my life. Oh, so right. My Dixieland and I.
More. much more than this. I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left on this Friday morning. Text line time permitting. I still got a few outstanding texts, 251-343-0106, and we'll get to those in the next segment, as many as we possibly can. Joining us now, he is our returning champion. We do this every week with him. State Senator Chris Elliott makes time for the program. Senator, how are you?
I am doing well. It is a beautiful Blue Angel show day here in South Alabama and that other little place we call Florida just across the line.
Did you get buzzed by some low-flying aircraft?
I get to watch them from the house because we look east across Perdido Bay, practice pretty frequently. But no, when they get that low, I can't see them anymore. So, but that had to be just about the coolest thing in the world to experience on the beach the other day. And I just love the left wing nut job media's reaction to it. What a bunch of Nancys!
Man, they are freaking out about that.
I think it's great. I think it shows the divide between patriots and whiny liberals.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's more patriots that are whiny liberals in our neck of the woods, it seems.
Thank goodness.
I'm grateful for that. Hey, well, some of you and I have been texting about Eric Mackey, and I haven't talked much about this on this program. We talked a little bit about it with April Worryfogle yesterday, but, well, you know, just, and I don't fully understand what's going on here. There's a textbook committee, and it determines what our textbooks are acceptable for our public school kids, which seems like a perfectly reasonable thing.
Yes.
However, the way you go about getting on this committee and the number of committees and subcommittees and who's on them, it seems like the more we try to dig into it, more of a mess it becomes. And there are people who are getting put on the committee who aren't going through the right procedures. Do you have a read on this at all?
I mean, there's a pretty clear process for how you get on there. I would say that it may be complicated, but it's clear. And you have to understand why. And the why is that the people of the state of Alabama were frustrated with the textbooks that the educrats were selecting. And so they came to the legislature and said, hey, let's have several committees that can kind of vet some of these books and content and see what's best for the kids that go to public school in the state of Alabama, and not just entrust that responsibility to the educrats and just take their word for it because they know best. And so, you know, Dr. Mackey seems to be upset with that. He wants to be the arbiter and not a committee, of the people of the state of Alabama. And so I'm not sure what kind of administrative failure occurred, but I think it's just that. It's an administrative failure, not necessarily an underlying problem with the people's, you know, representatives being in charge of and selecting the textbooks that our kids use in school.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's just a symptom of a bigger problem that we know better than you education bureaucracy in the state, which, you know, a guy like me doesn't deal with it on a day-to-day basis, but you know, it's there because it's probably just like everything else in government, like do as we say, we know best. We're the ones who have the elementary education degree from the University of Montevallo. So we're the experts here and you need to just go along with it and like it.
Well, it doesn't instill a whole lot of confidence, though, when they can't seem to follow the instructions and administer it properly. So those arguments run counter to each other, I'm afraid.
Well, and so this is what I've come to learn, that there's a committee for math books, a committee for English books, a committee for our subcommittee. This is where it gets complicated. That the people who are like reviewing these texts and approving them, they're not necessarily part of the real committee, and the committee itself in some cases seems like a rubber stamp.
Well, it may be, but those subcommittees are, as you point out, are broken out by subjects, so that you have folks that are English experts, whether or not they're educators or not, but English experts or math experts selecting the math text. instead of the English text. And you can imagine you'd want somebody whose specialization or focus is on history is not picking out the, you know, the, right, the British literature text. And so that's the subcommittee makeup. And then it, you know, maybe it is a rubber stamp, but that full committee is then looking at it and saying, yeah, we approve of what the math committee subgroup did. And so that's the structure. And again, if we're having problems figuring it out, let's talk about why we can't administer it properly. But I think the intent from the legislature was pretty clear.
Well, and so we asked Offney Latham about why gives these committees the ability to do it this way, and he cites like another section of law dealing with like a, I guess it's public health or something. It's a precedent, but like, is this something that like you guys in the legislature deal with education policy? Maybe that's not necessarily you, but maybe some of your colleagues really need to take a hard look at, okay, who exactly is calling the shots here, and or do we have like the right amount of oversight of throughout this process?
Well, I think we constantly need to look at things like this and see A, if they're working properly, and then B, if they are achieving the intended goal, right? What is the goal? What is the stated goal for doing it this way? I think, you know, again, when you look at the underlying reason that we have this process, it's because there was a fundamental lack of really trust in the education bureaucrats to, you know, to do what we thought was appropriate. We, the people, not we, the senator, but we, the people, thought needed to be taught in schools. And so this is a big pushback against that whole common core. We're teaching this. We're going to tell you what it is, and we know best, and this is the textbook. And this is a pushback on that. Do we need to constantly evaluate that, see if it's working properly, see if it's having the intended result and meeting the intended goals? Yeah, sure, always.
Well, tell me this. Does this come up? Does this subject come up? I'm sure it's not blowing up your phone, but do you hear from people about this kind of stuff, or they offer you examples or things that they're concerned about?
Not nearly as much as I used to. So I won the runoff election in my race 8 years ago today, actually. And I used to hear about this all the time, what was in the textbook that was being taught to our kids. And you remember back then the whole Common Core discussion, yeah, and everything else. Yeah. So we've enacted some changes to get away from that. And we've done just that using mechanisms such as this. Now, do we need to check and see if they need to be updated? Sure. But the fact that I'm not hearing nearly as much as what I used to, I don't have the explicit examples that I used to see, then yeah, I think that means we have accomplished at least part of our goal there, and that it seems to be working.
Well, and speaking of the Common Core, you don't hear about that. Has that been resolved?
I think it largely has been. My kids, as they go through school and get older, I don't hear near the problems that I heard when they were in early elementary school. And I don't hear them from the parents that I'm around all the time. So, I use that as a gauge and a barometer. Probably the best one out there is just being amongst folks that are, similarly situated in life with kids that are in school. And I just don't hear nearly as much of it as I used to. I don't hear about it at all, as a matter of fact. And so I think we have we've done as much as we can to nip that in the bud.
Well, this is a knock on that. Now, I didn't spend a lot of time, but now that I got kids, I'm kind of more interested in it. What was the flaw? Just the way they approached math and science, or what was the issue with Common Core?
It was the nationalized standardization. It was that what we are teaching and what ought to be the base level was being determined on a national level. And as you well know, that doesn't sit well with Alabamians. We like to do things our way. What is good, and what people in California and Rhode Island think their kids need to learn is not something that we necessarily, in Alabama think our kids need to learn. And so that's the great, federalist experiment, right? We have these states where we should be deciding education policy for our kids, and not this national standard. And so that was the whole argument for Common Core, was everybody needs to be the same. Everybody needs to be taught the same thing at the same age, so that if you move from Maryland to Mobile, then you've got the exact same background. And Alabama voters just said, that's not what we want. We're not we're not interested in making sure that we're teaching the Maryland standards or Connecticut standards. We want to make sure we're teaching to our standards. And to the extent that those are the same, fine, but they shouldn't be mandated to be the same.
Well, how much of it was this? Like, you know, we're judged based on the performance in other states. And I've always thought this was flawed because these national publications that do these, you know, whatever, standardized test scores and put them side by side by side, you know, the tests are flawed. Maybe they're geared toward a certain cultural element or a certain political element or whatever. But we always were doing this, that Alabama lagged behind these other states. And while that doesn't absolve the state from its poor performances in a lot of places, that, you know, there was an added on sort of penalty to it because we just did not go along with what the know-it-alls on the national level really thought was the proper, you know, criteria for education.
Well, two things there. One, I think as it relates to Nate's scores, that's fine. That's a price worth paying. And if you look at those national scores, we are doing better. We are doing demonstrably better than other states. We have made huge strides in education over the last 8 years. It has been meteoric. And then I'll also say there, in my opinion, is a flaw when we look at ACAP scores and when we test and you see these school rankings, right, or you see student rankings. We do still rely on a national test a lot and national standards a lot, and that is because we use the ACT scores, right? And that's the national test. And so when we were creating our Alabama standards, a large portion of what we used to score ourselves was a national test, which I think defeats the purpose, but it's easy, and that's what the Educrats chose to use, and so here we are.
Well, then, you know, and the NAEP scores seem to be the standard here. Is that – because I still think that, you know, there's just places culturally in Alabama where there's no emphasis put on this, and that drags down the product. The product itself may not be as bad as we think it is. It's just people are opting or whatever in certain places in Alabama are just not opting to take advantage of what's offered to them.
Well, no, and I think what you had the pushback on some of the national standards was, as we see so often nationally, you see a particular, oftentimes very leftist social agenda being pushed in some of those subjects. Now, you don't see nearly as much of that in math, right? But you would see it other places. And people just recoiled against that and said, that's not what I want my children learning in school in Alabama. And so I think that was the main source of a lot of that pushback, was some of these leftist agendas, you know, social agendas being pushed down through our children and yes, through their textbooks.
Yes. And so because you don't go along with the social agenda, because you're not down with the program, that counts against you. And like I said, Alabama's public education, K-12, may leave much to be desired, not making excuses for it. But because we don't bend to the whims of a national social agenda, they penalize the state even more.
They do in some instances. I think it depends largely on subject, but yeah, I think that's a correct statement in some instances.
Because we don't really have a real, or maybe we kind of have an idea, but there's just like no like gold standard, and I guess it's got to be the NAEP scores. And that's as best as we could do. But, I mean, there was a push here, and this is the way it was explained to me, that the reason you saw this standard, the idea of Common Core and all of that, was like we were trying to get a higher rating in U.S. News and World Report or whatever, you know. And that this was like a straight-up Chamber of Commerce-type play here because – part of your economic development program is showing that your schools are, you know, very, very good or whatever.
Well, I think part of any economic development program or success of a region is based on the health of your schools. How we measure that is up for debate. And so in Alabama, we don't necessarily, you know, use the Common Core standards to measure ourselves. But I think we have a pretty good metric. Again, not perfect, to evaluate ourselves, to pick textbooks and to make sure that our kids are learning what they need to learn. And look, we've got schools in Alabama that have shown amazing success. We are doing so much better than we were 8 years ago. And I think there's more room ahead of us to succeed.
Yeah. And so like the rankings, we have moved up. There has been, at least in the eye of, whoever compiles these national statistics and metrics, that there has been improvement.
Oh, no question. And even in Baldwin County, when you start isolating that and you start seeing the investments in city schools that are being made, where, you know, folks are more comfortable spending more of their own money on their own school, you have seen, again, meteoric increases in school test scores. Orange Beach was, you know, number two in the state. You saw, I think Gulf Shores was in the top 10. So, you know, when you see that increased investment and that hyper focus of the municipality on their city school, you see vast improvements above and beyond in education as well.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I always appreciate you coming on. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks so much for having me. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weather.
State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. What's left of this Friday morning midday mobile? Coming up here shortly, Sean's at the Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo down at Dolphin Island, so you want to make sure you stay tuned for that. Coming up Monday on the program, Jennifer Fiddler, my state lawmaker, will be with us. Dal Jackson from WVNN and Huntsville, a guest to be named later. Unnamed texter, Donald Trump lying is not newsworthy because undermining elections is dangerous for democracy. I don't understand that. Fire Dog, the Brewer Stadium is really nice. Has a big slide in the outfield. Great for kids. Looking forward to that. I am really looking forward to this vacation. Just to see the new things. It'll be interesting. Paul, weren't there 8 million more votes in 2020 than 16? Butterknife, we know CNN does not like Trump, but they're talking about documents and what is in the documents. That's more to me than what Maindoy. I don't know what your text or your voice of text didn't really quite get there. Scott, Mobile County's schools still teach that stupid Obama math in elementary school. Mike. I think it's obvious the fabrications from last night, like I just demonstrated, the main reason Fox is ignoring it and why CNN types are using it to point out that Trump just makes stuff up again. Right or wrong, as the principle is, he just blatantly exaggerated the facts. Says, I'm wondering, Ty got 20 million voters. If we read that already. Squirrelverine. So now Mobile is hosting a foul gay comedian with sold-out shows for the opening of its big honking arena. It is Pride Month every day in that stinky toilet. Well, you know what, though? Like, if it's selling and people are coming and they're making use of a public space that isn't, like, right in front of the cathedral. I mean, I don't necessarily have the problem with that. Because you got to buy a ticket and it's not sort of forced down your throat. Is this a show that I would have preferred as the inaugural event? No. But Scrovery, the history of this city, going back to the 1980s, and bringing big acts and having a venue that isn't falling down or isn't run by some Dixie mobbed up cartel. I mean, there is there's something to be said about that, having some successes here. And you don't want it to be a venue that is like Hank Aaron Stadium or something. Glad Peoples. You don't want that. So if this is the people who run it, who are making a business decision here, this is what they're able to pull off, then so be it. The guy's going to be a provocateur, fine. Most people in this space are. Like I said, I don't know that I would have had this as the inaugural act. I might have looked around for something that's got a little more oomph, a little more Alabama connection, if you will, than this. But there's going to be a lot of sort of foul acts, if you will, that are going to come and go throughout our culture, that we just, pop culture is what it is. All right, guys. Well, that's it for me. Sean Sullivan coming up from the Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. I got to get out of here. I will try to do better on Monday. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is